Welcome to the Pineapple Express podcast, a millennial swingers podcast, the podcast that explores the diverse and dynamic world of non-monogamous relationships. Join me as we delve into open communication, ethical non-monogamy, and the unique dynamics of polyamory, swinging, and much more. Get ready for candid conversations, expert insights, and real life experiences. This podcast contains mature themes and frank discussions about non-monogamous lifestyles. So listener discretion is advised. Whether you're curious about non-monogamy or a seasoned pro, this podcast is definitely for you. But just remember, it contains explicit language and sexual situations, so discretion is advised. Let's dive into the fascinating world of consensual non-monogamy together.
Welcome to the Pineapple Express podcast, and I'm your host, Kylie, a.k.a. Sexy Swinger Chick.
And I'm Brad, a.k.a. Brad the Space Cadet.
Journey with us as we navigate an ethical non-monogamy, sex positivity, sex work, and relationship advice as millennial swingers.
Explore with us as we share some of our upside-down pineapple adventures with you.
All aboard the Pineapple Express.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. I am super excited to share this one with you because I don't often like talk to sex workers. Usually my podcast has like experts in non-monogamy. So I wanted to do this specific podcast because we've been talking a lot, especially on social media, about sex work and basically how it's being appropriated by even other sex workers, right? So I really wanted to talk with my friend Rosie about this. So Polar Rosie, she's on Instagram and she has been a, you know, influential part of my sex work journey. She's also a sex work advocate online and she really talks about this subject a lot. And I just felt like we needed to have this conversation. I just love her so much. You can find her polar.rosie at Instagram and I'm going to link her Instagram in the bio. And if you have any questions for her or just want to follow her, or you think she's really pretty, or you want to subscribe to her OnlyFans, all of those things are welcome in this space. But yeah, so we have some very serious conversations about this. And one of the things that was brought to my attention on social media was like, there's a swinger influencer who is basically like putting out that they're doing a stripping class, stripper 101, and it's like basically exotic dancing and talking about the art of stripping. And I was like, hey, have you ever been a stripper? And this person was like, no, but like I support the art and everything. And I was like, so you're profiting off of dancers and the art of dancing, never once stepping into a club. Gotcha. And she was like basically upset with me for saying this, like blocked me on social media, and I like sent her all this educational info. But anyways, it's really difficult because I feel like a lot of people don't want to hear this because they want to do things their way, and I understand that, and like I have a lot of empathy for that, you know, like I totally get it. And I just really wanted to have this conversation because I feel like it needs to be talked about, because it needs to be heard from a stripper and a sex worker's like real life experiences. And that's what me and Rosie have. And, you know, we're not saying that we're experts on this, because we're not. I'm not an expert in sex work. I'm not an expert, you know, an expert in literally anything. But I really think that it's just really important to listen to and have an open mind. I did want to give a trigger warning on this because we do talk about sexual assault. We talk about assault in general. We talk about rape. We talk about, you know, just so much. And it can be very hard things to listen to. So if that's something that you're not in the space or you don't have the energy for this right now, that is okay. Come back to this at a different time. But we do explore some very mature themes in this podcast. So definitely keep an open mind and open heart. And if we're saying something that is wrong or false, or if you don't like this narrative, or if you have something to add to this, message me, reach out to me on Instagram, and I will listen to you. I mean, I think that it's really important for my growth journey to like start listening more to people. I know that it seems like I'm very rigid and stuck in my ways when it comes to my opinions, but I'm really not. I want to hear from people. I want to know, how can I grow? How can I learn? How can I get better at this? How can I get better at talking about this? So definitely feel free to reach out to me if I said anything that feels triggering. Like, reach out to me and explain that to me so that I can empathize with you. But definitely 100%, like, I'm open to criticism and I'm open to critical ideas. So I just really wanted to preface with that. So I hope you guys enjoy this podcast with me and Polar Rosie. But before we dive 100% into the podcast, I'm going to give you guys a message from my sponsors. Guys, remember that all of these sponsors of the podcast, any sort of commission that I make through any of these really helps me in my journey and really helps me, get through school. It helps me get through life. It helps it so that all this content creating and all of the podcasting and all of the educational resources that I provide for you can be, funded. And it really does help me. So if any of these things sound interesting to you, whether it be a dating website, whether it be, sex toys, whether it be STI testing, whether it be clothing, please, please, please make sure that you use all of that to your advantage, because it really does help me. Introducing the Sultry Vixen, your one-stop shop for all your sex work and rave wear needs. Whether you're hitting the pole or the festival scene, the Sultry Vixen has got you covered. From dance shoes to box outfits, custom dance outfits, and lingerie to vibrant festival outfits, they've got the perfect gear to make you shine. Stand out with their neon rave accessories and all of their costumes that will take your festival experience to the next level. And they also carry men's and plus sizes. They are a family-owned and operated ravewear / dancewear shop located in Riverside, California. The quickest way to reach them is directly through their Instagram. Visit thesultryvixen.com today for the hottest trends in dance and rave fashion. Dance more and glow more with the Sultry Vixen. I get asked all the time, how do I get into the non-monogamous lifestyle? And I've got the solution for you. It's the 3FUN app. It's the best dating app for couples and singles looking to explore open relationships. It's totally millennial friendly, aka it's in the 21st century, you guys. This is finally a dating app for us non-monogamous folks who are looking for a unicorn. Maybe you're looking for a bull. Maybe you're looking for a couple. This is my favorite app and I use it all the time. If you want to find a link to it, just go to www.sexyswingerchick.net and you'll find my link. Hope to see you guys there. Hey, Upside Down Pineapple people. Join the millions of couples enjoying amazing sex with Promescent. I personally love the variety of products they offer, and their aloe-based lube is the only lube I've ever used that doesn't throw off my pH. Brad loves their delay spray, which is clinically proven to help men last longer in bed. Their products have a 60-day money-back guarantee and free shipping on orders in the U.S. over $10. Their shipping is discreet and private, which is perfect for us in the swinger lifestyle. Make sure that you go to www.promescent.com/Kylie for all your discreet sexual health needs. My link is in the show notes. Promescent helps you live your best upside-down pineapple life.
Most people have unprotected oral sex, right? Be honest. Now think about your last STD test. Did your doctor tickle your throat with something that looked like a giant Q-tip? Probably not. Yet that's the only way to check for oral gonorrhea or chlamydia, which are often asymptomatic. You need a better doctor. You need shamelesscare.com. Use coupon code CHIC, that's CHIC, at checkout.
Hello, my Pineapple Express friends. So I have one of my good friends with me. She is a sex work advocate and she's a fellow gorgeous, spicy dancer, stripper, and in the sex work industry. I have Rosie here with me. Hello, Rosie.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm, like I told you before we started recording, I'm really excited to do this and finally have this conversation.
It's been a long time coming. I've been, you know, I think you really inspired me in a lot of ways to start having this conversation because I felt it. And like I was starting to have those conversations, not just with myself, but like with other people, especially because, you know, I'm in the non-monogamous and swinger space. So I was starting to have those conversations, but I didn't know how to word it. I didn't know what I was feeling. And then like I started seeing you talk about it online and it really, really inspired me to start also having the conversation. And so I, you know, you really inspired this podcast. So I really wanted to have you on. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So before we get into the, you know, meat and potatoes of the episode, which we're going to talk about sex work appropriation and specifically like stripper appropriation, because that's what space both me and you are in the sex work space. But before we do that, I want you to tell us about like your journey with sex work and kind of what led you to start having these conversations, especially like online.
The second part is a very good question because I'm not exactly sure like where that turn of events happened. So my journey with sex work, I was kind of like dabbling in it long before I was old enough to. Part of that was probably grooming. Part of that was my own voice. But so I was kind of like in and out of the industry for a very long time. And then when I was getting divorced, COVID happened, all of that. I think camming is what came first when I picked it back up. So I was on like my free cams for a while and I was serving tables and working in retail. I mean, I was working like 18-hour days. And when everything opened back up, like post-COVID, like it still was active COVID, but when everything opened back up and everybody was so fucking mean, I was like, I'm not doing this for pennies anymore. Like I had lost unemployment. All of my coworkers were working barely enough to keep theirs. And I was like doing the right thing and going back to work. And it was so demoralizing being like, I'm going to do the right thing and go back to work and watch everybody else benefit. And so then I was like, fuck this. I'm going to be a stripper now because camming wasn't enough. So I decided to be a stripper. And then from there, I was like travel dancing because the clubs here were closed. And so I've been travel dancing for 4 years. And then, yeah, that's kind of like you said, the meat and potatoes of my journey. You know, there's some other things dabbled in throughout the years, but back to the other question about appropriation. I think that started when I realized how little support I actually had from people that said they supported me.
And you mean like friends, or do you mean like, you know, acquaintances, people online, like what type of people in your life were not supporting you?
I expected, you know, people online or acquaintances to kind of drop off, but it was like my close friends that they had supported my decision, to enter, like re-enter sex work and be a stripper and all that stuff. You know, they were the whole like, yeah, girl, get it, empower it. And when it came time to actually supporting me, I think I talked about this in one of my posts. I had a stalker for a minute, and he started coming to the pole studio that I would go to. And that is who my closest friends were. And he started going to the pole studio, and I made everybody aware. And I was met with, well, what do you expect? Anybody can go to your job. And they, like, somebody had compared it to being a receptionist. They were like, if you're a receptionist, they can go to your job. Okay, well, receptionists don't have their titties out.
And that's not necessarily true. And that's something. So, of course, they were invalidating your experience, right? Which sucks and causes more trauma. But, we had a situation very similar to that where there was one of my really good friends was being stalked by somebody, who coincidentally was also one of the dancers' dads. Yes, I
That's so
know, right?
scary.
So scary. And we told, my friend told management, and I went with her, and like we were supportive, and management was like, he is never allowed in this building again.
And that's how my home club is. Like, that's how well-run strip clubs are. So to see, because I was like, I had instructed there. I had taken classes there. These were my closest friends who knew where I lived. We hung out all the time. And they were like, well, he hasn't done anything to anybody here at the studio or to anybody else. And like, at the time, I was the only stripper that like they really knew. So I was like, okay, so this is about me being a sex worker. Like, it was really weird that nobody was believing me. And nobody was taking it seriously. And that's when I really like the anger in me started. And I'm like, you guys are doing heels classes. You're talking bad about how strippers don't do tricks at the club. Like all of these things that I started noticing, I'm like, y'all don't actually support sex workers at all. And I think that's when I was like, okay, I can no longer shut the fuck up about this.
I totally get that. That was like kind of one of my catalysts for having these conversations, was like continuously seeing women. So for me, it wasn't really the pole. It was more like the shoe thing, like the pleaser thing, and just being like, bro, you can literally buy the same shoes on Amazon, but they're not specifically made. Those ones aren't made for dancers, like, but the ones on the pleaser website are, because I wear like this specific boot, right? Like it's the one type, because I have big ass thighs, right? I'm thick, so I can only get this specific one, and it wasn't in stock for months, which we could blame Pleaser, yeah, but also like, okay, are women, like civilian women, buying these up? And then I go to these swinger events and I see like all the women are now wearing Pleasers, and I'm just like, why are we doing this? What, you are not, you're playing a dancer, and there's, stripper poles in pretty much every club, and girls will always come up to me every single event and be like, teach me some tricks. I'm like, I'm not a pole dance teacher. Like, I'm not at work. No, you're not gonna pretend to be a stripper for a day without actually understanding what the fuck strippers go through and the sex work industry, and specifically without supporting women of color who created this type of dance. And that's when the fire really got struck in me. I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. All of these old ass 51-year-old white ladies who have no fucking idea, like no idea the privilege that they have, are just like, this is cutesy and fun to be a dancer. I'm just gonna do this, and I'm gonna
Exactly.
make these videos and post them on Instagram. Like, so anyways, I digress.
It's funny, like clearly they've never even been to a club or like know anything about stripping if they're going to be asking you to teach them pole tricks, which again, most of us don't do pole tricks.
No.
If they're asking you to
Oh.
do pole tricks on your off time while you're just trying to like exist as a person at this event. Like, you're not on the
Literally,
clock,
I'm
they're
not
not
at
offering to
work.
tip you. Yeah, so it's like that's like the bare minimum that you could be doing.
Right. Literally. So I guess that's what kind of, and then of course, like the shoe thing, obviously, but like it's really started to frustrate me. And I think because this is why I was really frustrated too, is because, like, swinger events and clubs are very sex positive spaces, as they should be. Just like stripping is a very sex positive space. That's kind of why, what led me back into sex work as well was like my, non-monogamous lifestyle. And, I was like, I'm just in this very sex positive space. But I had to like do a lot of inner work, and I had to really like understand the differences. And like one of the big difference is like, these people are doing this stuff out of privilege. Like you're paying $100 to go to a swinger event. You're wearing these really expensive dancer shoes, right? Like this is all privilege. And we as dancers, it is not from privilege. It comes from a place of like, especially a lot of dancers I know, it comes from like a place of you have to do this. This is survival. Like you don't have a choice. You have to work 7 days a week to feed your children. And these women are just like, oh, this is like cutesy fun. It very much reminds me of the comment, oh, I could be a dancer. All I have to do is go and audition at a club and shake my ass for a couple of hours and make $1,000. And I'm like, I get that so often. I don't know how often you get it, but I get it in all facets of my life. Like, doesn't matter where I'm at, what kind of, social circle I'm in, somebody always says something like that.
So I actually like don't when I've been to swinger events, like I don't want to tell anybody what I do for work. Like I actually just tell them I'm a student. Like I'm like, oh, I'm a student. I don't know. I don't want to be objectified outside of work, which I know is not that's like a society problem. But back to the shoe thing, to piggyback on that, I have a perfect example of why this is so annoying. I bought a pair of pleasers on Black Friday. They arrived 2, 3 weeks later. So we're looking at beginning mid-December. It's currently the end of January. Saturday night, we had a huge, or Friday night, we had a big convention in town. Mind you, January's been so slow, so I'm working longer hours. Third day in a row, my knees hurt, my back hurts, I'm dying, but I have to work because I have not made enough money yet. Literally an hour into my shift, I break my heel. I did not do anything to break my heel, and it snapped clear in half. It
Damn.
snapped in half, and I had those shoes for a month. 1 fucking month.
Yeah.
And the same pair of shoes that I was wearing used to last me, I think even like a year ago, I would get maybe 3 months. Year before that, I would get about 6 months. The year before that, there was a pair I had for almost 9 months. So like every single year, the quality is getting worse and worse. And you know what? Friday night, I was faced with two choices. I could either go home and make no money, which is again, people get to wear pleasers to these events or out to dinner or out to a club, and I'm faced with the consequences of because you guys have made pleasers so popular in mainstream society and fashion. Now the quality of my work shoe is so low that I almost have to go like get sent home and then make no money after paying to be there, paying to have the outfit, the 2 hours to get ready. Now I don't have the opportunity to make money while you strut around in my uniform.
Right. Because it's cute and fun, and I mean anybody can do it, right?
It's so easy. But so then I ended up having to rent a pair from another girl. She offered them for free, but I wasn't going to give the, stretcher shoes out for free.
I mean, I totally like if that happened to one of my girlies, I would give, because that happened to me and one of my friends gave me a pair of shoes. But like that's, sex workers, we have no choice but to band together like that, where when something happens like that, like we have no choice, right? Like we are in this together, especially as women. And so for other women, and this was like the biggest issue I had with it when I made the comment about like the pleasers thing, was not that like men were having an issue with this, because I really don't give a fuck what cis hetero white men have to say to me, because like I just don't care. They like it goes in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
But really, what bothered me was not just that it was other women, but it was women who were my friends
Yeah.
or were my friends, quote unquote, and women that are sex positive. And because like that's what bothered me. Like swinger women, where I'm over here, I'm advocating for your group. Like I'm
Right.
putting my ass on the line and putting myself out there, and you're gonna disrespect me at, when I'm telling you as a sex worker, like, hey, this is bothering the community. This is something that, you know, we'd like to see a change in, or at least if you're going to do this, please support sex workers, you know, in any way that you can. We just want respect. And
Exactly.
to hear like that my opinions didn't matter and that like I was wrong and that I was being like I was gatekeeping was a
Yeah,
comment.
it was like the, oh, you're gonna gatekeep shoes. And like, they were even laughing at the topic. Like, you've got to be fucking serious. Or like, some of the comments that I saw towards you, I'm like, you have OnlyFans in your bio. Like, why do you have a problem with us asking you to please not wear pleasers or like go to a strip club? Like,
Or like if you're gonna go to a strip club, like, and so, and this is something that's like, I guess, a not really off topic, but just speaking about women in strip clubs, something that I've noticed in especially the past couple of years is this more prevalence of couples and women coming to strip clubs. I work in a gentleman's club, so I don't work in like an entertainment style club per se. I mean, it
right.
is. But it's more of a gentleman's club, like the VIP rooms and the lap dances. And like that is what people go in there for, right? Do we put on a great show? Absolutely. But it's more about the entertainment factor of it, right? Or I mean, the gentleman's club aspect, not the entertainment. That would be a different type of club to go into, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of like women and couples are coming in, but they're not coming in and spending money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like kind of what I was talking about earlier with like the girls from the pole studio when I think they did do like one field trip to the strip club and they said they spent no money because the girls weren't doing tricks. And it just grosses me out because like what you said at gentlemen's clubs, which is where I work, where you work, where we work together. That's not the main focus. I mean, some girls will hop on the pole because it's fun, but like my money is from interacting with the tip rail or dances or VIPs or knowing how to ask for tips, talking. It's not, doing 500 flips. At that point, why am I wasting that energy?
Right, and it's our job is not being good on the pole. Now, is that a skill and is that an amazing, beautiful skill? Absolutely. But what drive the reason why I don't do it is not because I don't know how. I'm sure you know how. I'm sure
Yeah.
both, but I do it because I'm not going to exert that energy for nothing. If,
Exactly.
unless you are making it rain on me, I'm gonna save my energy for the sales portion of my job. The because people don't realize how much true, not just like regular energy, but spiritual energy that that takes. Because you're dealing with people who are trying to exploit you. You know, you're dealing with a lot of not really great humans who come into strip clubs. No offense, there are a lot of great ones, but you're dealing with these people who are just there to either like exploit you or they're not tipping you for your time. They're not understanding like how strip clubs work and the etiquette of them anymore. And that takes a lot of emotional and spiritual energy from you. So why am I going to go up on stage and do a bunch of flips when, you know, on a pole, which I know how to do, but like that's just not, I don't need to. I'm there to
Yeah.
model and show myself off and show my body off because essentially that's what these men want.
Yeah, they just want to know what you look like, do a spin.
Right? Shake your ass, you know, and maybe, you know, climb to the top of the pole when, and like do a flip when, you know, the whole entire room is filled with people and like I'm actually giving a performance. But when there's three guys in the club, I'm not giving a performance, you
Yeah,
know.
I might do the Macarena or like the chicken dance or something. But you bring up another good point about like how spiritually and emotionally exhausting this job is, and that's another thing that people don't consider. They think like, oh, strippers are making, 100, 200 an hour or like whatever the average is that strippers make. They're, rolling in dough. By the time, the end of the year comes, they're making half a million.
The average
No.
is actually $20 an hour, by the way, people.
Oh, good to know.
They just did a study on this. It's $20 an hour.
Interesting. That, yeah, so it's very long, you guys.
It's a blue collar job. People don't
And
realize
then,
that. It's a blue collar job.
on top of that, because it's emotionally and spiritually exhausting, so we're, yeah, sure, $20 an hour, 40 hours a week sounds great, but most of us are not working that much. We are
No,
not at all. We are
because it's
working
so exhausting. It's
10
so,
to 15, maybe.
yeah,
So.
because of the exhaustion that you face, and energetically, like it's such, and not only energetically from the other men, but like your management or the other girls, like
Co-workers, yeah.
that can just be very exhausting, especially if you are somebody who is very much like, I guess, sensitive to energies, which a lot of strippers are, because that's a part of the way that we make a lot of our money, is we have to be
Yeah.
able to read energies so quick. So that's why when people just don't understand what all we put into our job, and that's why I get so frustrated. And it's not just even about, I guess, strippers. I guess it's more about sex workers in general. Like,
Yeah.
you know, full service sex workers and, you know, burlesque performers and all types, you know, professional dominatrixes and all facets of sex work. You know, it's appropriating to all of them when you know, people don't realize that like wearing pleasers in public in a lot of places is illegal. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's illegal in some places to wear them in public. It's also illegal to take them off for dances in some places. Like if
Why
you're,
is it illegal, you know?
it's just the legislation in different places. Sometimes it'll be like solicitation is what you can get charged
Prostitution.
with. You can get charged with prostitution, which it's just insane just for taking off a pair of shoes or wearing a pair of shoes. These are things that we're taught when we sign our contracts. The managers tell us, like, A, B, and C is the law regarding nipple tape, pleasers, outfits. So civilian women who don't know these laws don't have to, deal with the potential of raids and things like that. They're wearing that while we're under the threat of being arrested if like an undercover cop comes in, and then they're just like, "Me, it's so hot and pretty." And
Yeah, if women and sex workers are still, if it's still not legalized, if it's still marginalized, which it is, because you can be arrested for wearing a pair of shoes out in the open, it's probably a good idea not to wear those shoes until sex workers are liberated. And today, you know, January 2024, they are not. It is still illegal in 49 states and Las Vegas to be a full service sex worker or a prostitute. And that is why, in a lot of places, you can't wear pleasers without getting arrested. So until that's not a thing, we probably shouldn't be wearing them.
yeah, it's just kind of like making a mockery, that's how part of me feels like as somebody that has like been forced into like full survival, full service sex work and dealt with trafficking and like all of these terrible things that you hear about. I have been there and it feels like these people who go out of their way to not listen to sex workers, it just feels like they're making a mockery of us and objectifying us. And it's like, they care about human trafficking when it's children, but they don't care when it's adults who, quote unquote, chose this way of life.
And not understanding, yeah, they just it, and it's so like you said, in a lot of the, because I had reshared, so I Rosie had wrote something that was very powerful for me on social media, and I was like, can I please reshare this on my platform? Because I do have a larger platform, and I just really wanted to not only uplift that post, because I think that it really meant something to me when it was posted. And she was like, yeah, that's fine. Here's the post, and she sent it to me. And the comments that we received on that were just like baffling to me. And one that really stuck out to me was when somebody said to me, well, what about when people, I'm a nurse, and people over-sexualize nurses' outfits? What about that? Is that appropriating being a nurse? Is being a nurse a marginalized group? I'm sorry.
No. Like, are you going to get with somebody going out of their way to go to your hospital, pretend to have an ailment so that they can gain your trust while you're a patient in their hands? And then gain information from you to then follow you home, rob you, rape you, kill you. Is that a story that you hear on a regular basis? I don't think so.
But you do with sex workers. I
You
literally
do.
2 nights ago had a trafficker come in, try to traffic me and my friend. Last night I had a pimp come in. It happens literally every day when you're a dancer. And if you don't know what you're dealing with, you will get into this life, and you will be on a plane to Russia, and you will not ever go home to your family if you're not smart.
Yeah, it happens so fast, and it's subtle too. Like, girls trying to be friends with you and like convincing you to trust them. So like, it's subtle. You have to be on high alert in
All the
these
time.
industries. Yeah.
And it's, it can be like, for some people, it can be pretty terrifying. But when people just make a mockery of it, and say things that are just so blunt, like, I feel like comments like that, like the nurse's comment, is just so, like, what the, you're so blind. Like, you.
It's so far out there that like it's one of those questions that people they just try to make you feel stupid or to make a mockery of you to like make you feel below them because they don't want to be like dealing with the truth that they could be wrong about something. And I think that's what most people's initial defense is to just like deduct all sex workers to this object that we don't matter, that we're not people, so that they don't have to look internally and like have a little bit of humility.
Because it's uncomfortable to have humility, especially, for women who, like, I guess a lot of time, sex work in the way that it's portrayed in the media is definitely different. It's very much portrayed as like this survival, which it is a survival thing, but it's very much portrayed as like we're all drug addicts who, don't have anything going for us. And it's portrayed very negatively in the media. We're portrayed as money grubbing, just like not, there's really not a lot of good depictions. And this includes like hustlers.
Oh.
Striptease is really old, but it's not a bad depiction, but like definitely not a good one. But there's just really no media that shows strippers in a good light. So I think
Yeah,
that's part
I
of it.
haven't seen Striptease, but Hustler, I just rewatched it the other day and it made me so angry. I'm like, this is probably the reason that people come in thinking that it's so funny to hustle us.
Right? Yeah, it's definitely just not, there's not a lot of good media portrayal out there. And so like instead of listening to sex workers, people just dismiss sex workers as like, well, you chose this job. Like, why don't you get a better job? It's the same thing when people like when people who work in fast food or retail, right? They say that they want more pay because they're not being paid a living wage. And people say to them, well, why don't you get a better job? Why didn't you go to college? But if nobody worked those jobs, how would we go to McDonald's? How would we go to
Right.
Target? Who would work?
Also, when doctors or lawyers or engineers or any of these other people with respectable careers complain about their jobs or complain about their bosses or their coworkers or certain rules or having to go back to the office, nobody says, well, why don't you just get another job? You chose this. Nobody says that to them when it's a respectable career. So why are you saying that to us?
Right.
Like, again, because you don't respect us. You don't see us as people.
Don't see us as humans. It's very dehumanizing. We are, and strip clubs will always be a thing. They will never not be a thing. I think that the industry will change a little bit. Just like if you go back to striptease and if you watch striptease, this was the early 90s girl. Like this is like probably before either me or you was born. This movie came out. And it was very burlesque. It was very like really the art of striptease, right? Where you would have these elaborate costumes and you would strip to your underwear and show your boobs, like it was very much a performance and it was different. And so the industry does change a little bit here and there, but it will always be an industry. And truth be told, our industry is not about showing our tits and shaking ass. Our industry is about healing men and women and couples who come in there and they're looking for connection and they're looking for intimacy. That's what it is. Because if they wanted to have sex, they would go and find a full service sex worker.
Right.
They spend way more money at our club on a champagne room because intimacy and connection is more important to them than we really believe, as a society.
And people still enjoy the anonymity of it too. The anonymity, but still having those vulnerable connections. It's nice to be able to like walk in. Be like, I like you. I want to have a connection with you tonight. I want to feel like I matter by you tonight. And like, sure, it may be transactional, but like the amount of times that like men have cried in VIPs with me, or I've given them a massage for the first time in years. I'll rub their neck a little bit, and they'll be like, oh my God, I have not been touched like this in years. Or we're slow dancing. Or arm wrestling, or like just anything that they want to do that's silly or goofy or like slightly sensual. Like we do that too. But a lot of times, like they're like, oh my God, I'm so grateful that we did this,
I've done VIP rooms where I've sang for an hour.
Yes,
I've done VIP
SpongeBob
rooms
karaoke.
where I've rubbed their head for an hour, where they've
Yeah.
laid on my lap and I've rubbed their head. The most money that I've made in VIP rooms has been me just talking and getting to know these guys on a very intimate level where they feel safe. And I think part of it is this, and this is going to sound really weird, but I had like this realization about this. A lot of men don't want to open up emotionally to like a therapist or, but they will open up to a hot, pretty girl that's naked. They will open right up to you. So
Yes.
it's really expensive therapy. And energetically, like that is a lot. And people just have this misconception. And that was actually going to be like my next question for you. Like, what are some of the misconceptions that you feel like people have about strippers and sex work in general?
Oh, this is a tough one. I think when people expect me to just like be a helpless, dumb woman, like when there was somebody a couple of weeks ago that was like telling me how to do my job. And he was like, why are you here? Like, why aren't you in school? I was like, I have a bachelor's degree. And he was like, oh, then why aren't you doing anything with it? I was like, because I'm working on a master's degree. And like, people just expect me to be stupid or like not have other qualifications. I think I mentioned how like every time I try to exit the industry, like no one like reaches out to help me, but like if somebody else who's like a receptionist is like, hey, I want to get a new job, people in the same community will be like, yeah, here's all these opportunities. And I'm like, y'all actually don't realize like I've had executive positions, like account executive positions and education specialist positions. And
And I
when
think it's
people
important
expect,
to say that, like, me and you are privileged white women who like do have kind of we have the privilege for that, right? Like, we got to go to college and we got to, like, that comes from a place of privilege. And you have to understand there is a lot of women in sex work who do not have that privilege. They do not have the privilege of going to school. So the only way that they can pay for their school is through sex work, through survival sex work, you know?
Also, I would say I'm trying to think of something that other women experienced. I mean, like, not everybody's a student, not everyone's a mom. But like some of these women are some of the smartest people I've ever met. I just keep going back to like intelligence. Like some of these women are so incredibly intelligent and funny and caring and generous. Like
Some of them are the best women I've ever met in my life. And that's one of the reasons why I stay in sex work, because the relationships that I've built with these women in the club is so amazing for me. And like, I agree with you. Like, they're being a stripper is like so fucking hard, right? Because you do need to have like the influence skills, you have to be able to sell, like you're selling you. So you have to be confident, and like, it is so easy to get down on yourself. And like, I would definitely say that like one of the biggest misconceptions is just like that it's easy.
Yes. I don't know why I never think of that.
I would definitely say that's the biggest one, is like that it's easy and that there's no real skill required to be a sex worker. You just have to be a pretty face, which I think impartial, like you do have to be a pretty face. Like you do have to really, you know, work on your body and be very conscientious about your health and the way that you look. Like you have to do your makeup nicely and your hair and your nails up, you know, they don't have to be done, but like, I think that definitely ups your money. But, you know, there's a lot that goes into it, and it's not just being a pretty face.
No, absolutely. Like I, even looking at my schedule for the next 2 weeks, like every time I see maintenance week, it's like, okay, my hair that week is going to take 7 hours on that day. Or, you know, my nails are going to take 2-3 hours that day. And then my makeup and my hair to get ready for work takes 2 hours. And then going to the gym every day, that's 2 hours. It's like all of this stuff to just maintain my figure, my appearance, and then add on maybe sales courses, reading books, psychology texts, like, and then there's so much that goes into it. I think because I've been doing it so long, I don't think of any of this stuff because it's second nature to me now. But yeah, it's not. And then going to work, being rejected all night, possibly assaulted, and then going home, dealing with it, and then having to go back the next day to try and make money all over again. And like just having that quick recovery time and that resilience, it's not for the faint of heart.
No. Not at all. And, you know, I did want to like move on a little bit to like online sex work and ask you and talk about online sex work, because I've done online sex work. I know that you also dabble, and you talked about, doing camming and you do OnlyFans and whatnot. But I remember back in 2020. So OnlyFans kind of had like this boom, which is when I got into it, when it was, COVID and all that. My story is very, very similar to yours about getting back into sex work and COVID and just like being a bartender and being like, fuck this. People are being mean to me because I'm literally wearing a mask, but like I literally like this is my uniform. But like people are not tipping me because they think it's political and that I'm part of the political, like it's yes, that's a whole different thing. But I remember like Bella Thorne and a couple of other sex workers, or I'm sorry, a couple of other celebrities doing OnlyFans and making millions and millions of dollars. Can you talk a little bit about that and the appropriation of that and kind of give your opinion on it?
Oh my gosh, this topic makes me so angry. Because every time
Triggered.
somebody's like, fuck it, I'll just make an OnlyFans, I'm like, congratulations, you'll probably make like a couple hundred dollars your first month off of some people that have wanted to see you naked your entire life. And then it's going to go to an abrupt stop. They're gonna see that you're scared to show some nipples, or you're scared to show your b-hole, and then they're not gonna subscribe anymore. And it's not, and then you're gonna be like, I have no idea where to advertise, or oh, I didn't know that I had to film actual porn.
Or you're going to reach out to a successful sex worker, only someone who has a successful OnlyFans because of the work that they put in, and you're going to expect them to share you and promote you and help you and give you all of the ins and outs of how it works, which is what happens to me all the time. And people will be like, well, you're gatekeeping, you're gatekeeping. No, I'm not. But like when I wanted to start an OnlyFans and when I wanted to do this, like I spent weeks preparing for this and like listening to women on YouTube and doing the research, reading articles, reading books about it, like really, really, really getting into what online sex work was and how to do well at it, right? And I think that that's the one of the things about appropriating it, like you have to put the work into it or it's not, you're not going to make any money. 80% of the women on OnlyFans on a yearly basis only make like maybe $500 a year on OnlyFans.
A year,
A
jeez.
year.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me because I don't make a whole ton on there because I'm not consistent with it. And I'm in like the top like 12%. And
Yeah, that's like
it's
where
not a
I'm
lot.
at. And I post once a month. But
Yeah, I'll like
I used to
read.
be very consistent and my OnlyFans was like I've been in the top 1% before and it's not where I'm passionate about because I decided to move in a different direction with my own platform just because like I just felt like it was a little bit appropriating to swinger culture in my opinion because it was like I'm sharing this very sacred part of my life and I don't want to do that anymore and I don't want people to think that like this is what swinging is because this isn't what swinging is. It's not just like having crazy sex orgies all the time, so that was me personally. I'm not saying anybody who does what they do is it's totally their business, but that's just me and my place with it. But I do think that like these celebrities and these people with, if you have a million followers on Instagram, like you're going to do what better on OnlyFans than somebody with like 100 followers, right? Like,
Yeah, and I think it just set up such an unrealistic expectation of what sex work actually is. And for one, OnlyFans is probably the most privileged form of sex work where like you don't actually have to like go out and touch anybody or put yourself in danger. You can hide your IP address and get a VPN, and you
hide your
can be
face.
faceless. Yeah, you can be faceless. There's all of these different ways to hide your identity and have it, be so anonymous. So there's that element, and then there's also the unrealistic expectation that people have set. And then you also have like the predatory accounts that just want the referrals. And so they're not going to tell you how much difficult work it is because they're just wanting the 10% from you. Or
It's an MLM scheme, essentially.
it really is.
Yeah, it's a pyramid scheme, essentially. And they got so popular doing what they do because of that. And now there's all these regulations and rules, and it's not the platform that it used to be, and in a lot of ways, I don't want to say that it is, because there's a form of pornography. It's called shit, I know the name of it, but it's what is it?
I can't remember.
Ethical porn. I know I couldn't think
Oh.
about it. Like, it is a form of ethical porn because like you're everything you're doing yourself and all that, but also it's very predatory because you are doing everything yourself and they're making the 20% from every single subscriber that you get and all of the money that you make, they're taking a percentage of it, which is very similar to strip clubs, right? Like they take a percentage of it and you're doing all of the work, right? They're just providing you a platform. They're providing you a pole. They're providing you a DJ, which you tip that DJ out. They're providing you safety, which you are tipping that safety out, right? The door guys and the, all of that. So, I mean, it's very much similar to a strip club, but it's very predatory towards sex workers. And I feel like a lot of people don't really understand what they're getting into when they do start an OnlyFans. They think it's, oh my God, it's so cutesy and fun. And like, I'm a pretty girl, so I could do it. Like, this girl's
Yeah.
successful,
Or I'm just gonna post feet pics. And I'm like, it's so offensive because again, you're the people that say those things and think like you're just telling me how low you see me, and you're telling me how easy you think my life is, and it just is dismissive. It's dehumanizing. And it's kind of like my job isn't degrading. People degrade me. And that, the comments like that really, they hurt, you
Yeah, they
know?
do. It's painful because you're like, oh my God, like you don't and even with OnlyFans, because I started, I mean, I started dancing, but I didn't dance for a long time when I was young, right? But it really you don't understand like the messages that you receive, like I'm more traumatized by a lot of those than I am by the actual men who come into a club, because
Yeah,
they're just sick.
there's one that my friend got while camming the other day. They said it's pretty nasty. So they said I want to suck the eggs out of your pussy. This is like people, no one would say that to you in person. But
Right.
like the stuff that people say online because they can't, like you can't see them, it's just revolting.
And like the thing is, online sex work is, online sex work is not criminalized, right? There's nothing illegal about online sex work.
In
But in
some
a lot of,
states,
and yeah, you're right. Louisiana.
That is one where it's
Yeah.
viewing porn. So making it's fine, viewing it is not. North Carolina, I think, also just added something, and then Montana. I have a friend who her entire income was online, and now she can't make any money. She's having to like fly to other states in order to do OnlyFans.
So that brings up the point of decriminalization.
Oh, yes.
Of sex work, like what a lot of people say we should legalize sex work, and I am of the thought process that legalizing it would be very similar to the weed process of legalizing weed. It's very similar. Like, you also have to remember that there's, you know, when we regulate things like sex work, when we regulate other people's bodies, should we be regulating someone else's body that's theirs? And really, what I think that we need to do is decriminalize it, you know, make it so that two consenting adult, like obviously trafficking, and obviously like kids should not, like that should be illegal, but something that two consenting adults are doing shouldn't, I don't believe, should be criminalized by the government, you know? And I think a lot of sex workers also have that opinion. What do you think?
I have the same opinion. I mean, even as an entertainer, if they want taxes from my business, I pay taxes. So, like, if that's the government's concern with wanting to legalize it versus decriminalizing it, we pay our taxes. I definitely think it should be decriminalized. Especially with like legalizing, there's still so many like rules and regulations that they could be imposing. That again, like the rules with nipple tape or being able to wear pleasers in public versus taking them off in strip clubs, all those weird laws, I think that just leaves so much room for each state to just interpret it how they want and make the law how they want. I don't know.
And I think too, it really puts a lot of privilege into play because, again, you're going to have to be privileged in order to do it if you legalize it, because then there's going to be, I'm sure you're going to have to pay a fee to work in a brothel, right? Like
Yep.
a large fee, you know? So I think that decriminalizing it is the best way to go about it, where we make it safe for people, you know? I mean,
Yeah.
sex work is always, in a way, there's going to be some risk with it, just like anything that you do, any job that you do, getting in your car, there's going to be risk. But it's going to mitigate that risk, and make it a little less. And the last question I want to ask you is, what do you think that like civilians can do if they want to be an ally to sex workers? Like if you're a civilian and you're listening to this and you're like, oh my God, these girls are telling their story. I want to be an ally to them. Like, what do you think that, what are some ways that they can be allies to us?
I think number one is believe sex workers. I think that's number one is believe them. Don't victim blame as well. If going back to the safety thing, like we can't go to the police when bad things happen. We only have like our friends and our families.
Mind you, I've been sexually assaulted by a cop.
Yeah.
The only person that I've ever truly been sexually assaulted by in the club, like when I say truly sexually assaulted by, I mean like where I was really honestly like telling this person no, and they were holding me down and like physically assaulting me,
Yeah.
was a cop. And when I told him that I was going to tell someone, he said, "No one is going to believe you. You're just a stripper, and all you do is lie anyways."
Exactly.
And he was a cop.
And I last semester I read a like an academic journal on police officers sex sampling during raids. And it's the same thing that they were doing, you know. They would reveal that they were a police officer and that this sex worker was going to be arrested, but then force them to still have sex with them. Be like, oh, if you have sex with me, then I won't arrest you. But then arrest them anyway, and then go, oh, who are you gonna believe? So that going back to the decriminalization, but also as an ally, believe us. I've had experiences where I've gone to my friends and they've been like, why didn't you leave? Why, how did you let this happen? And like blaming me for bad things happening, like when I was under, the guise of a different plan. And
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, believe sex workers when we tell you somebody's unsafe or when we tell you that we need support or XYZ happened, just believe us. In terms of like other ways to support us, go to strip clubs and tip the girls on stage, tip the girls that come up and say hi, even if you don't want to dance from them. If you want to reject them, give them a few bucks. Buy dances. You don't have to get dances or VIPs or go sit at the tip rail. Just give a few bucks here and there to anyone that gives you attention. If somebody has a conversation with you, tip them. So that's one way. Also, please stop wearing pleasers.
And stop, I would say too, like, stop going to pole studios who you know are not sex work allies, because that type of dance was created like I said earlier, specifically by women of color, a marginalized group within the sex work industry. And I think that, like, that's the biggest thing, is like truly not supporting those types of pole studios. And like, I can tell you, we have three pole studios in Cleveland, three big ones. And two of them are pretty supportive. They employ sex workers. One of them is sex worker owned. The other one, not at all. Absolutely not. And do not support those places. Support the teachers who are sex workers or have a background in sex work. Support the studios who are sex work owned.
Yeah, that, or take field trips to clubs together, or like elevate voices of sex workers. Like the studio in Indianapolis that I currently go to, they have a sex worker discount. They take regular field trips to clubs all together, and they tip, and there's great customers. They also might start sponsoring classes. They hire sex workers, and we have two other big clubs here, not clubs, studios. We're like, one of them just posted last night that they're taking donations for like homeless women and children. And they're the ones that we're going to hire, a friend of mine. And then as soon as she said she learned how to pole dance in strip clubs, they ghosted her. I asked them, I was like, so what do you do to support sex workers as well? Like, it's really cool that you're taking donations for this. And they just left me on read.
Of course they did.
And the other one was the one that allowed my stalker to go there until he stalked somebody else. But
so, yeah, they want to, you know, have the aesthetic of strippers without
the heels
actually
classes and the sexy dances and the chair flow, and they want all of that without actually being true allies. And like, at that point, like, the profiting off of marginalized people is what's like really gross to me.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And not doing the inner work. You know, one of the things that I got a lot when I started talking about sex work appropriation, a lot of the comments that I received were, ha ha, this is coming from a white woman of privilege with locks in her hair. And they actually specifically all called them dreads, not even knowing what that word even means. Or why they shouldn't even use that word, because like mine are locks, they're not dreads. But anyways, you know, when I got my hairstyle like this, I had to truly do so much inner work and understand, you know, that this came from, it's universal to all cultures, right? But the reason why it's an issue for, and why it's considered cultural appropriation to, you know, the
the African American culture is because it was criminalized for a long time. They, you know, their locks were cut out of their head and it was a very bad thing, right? So I had to do that inner work and I had to realize if I want to wear this hairstyle, then I need to make sure that I am supporting Black owned businesses, right? And that I am doing the right thing because truthfully, everybody that has locks, we are all, you know, connected in a spiritual way. We're brothers and sisters in very spiritual people because that's the meaning of having locks, right? Mm-hmm. If you have them for the right reasons. And that really like bothered me that people, you know, were like, well, you have this. Well, I've done the inner work. We're asking you to do the inner work on, you know, strippers. And so like, if you do the inner work, we're not saying like, don't take pole classes. We're not saying, that's not what we're saying. We're saying like, just be more, think about it more and respect us more. You know, if you really, really feel the absolute need to wear a pair of pleasers that, you know, you can literally buy the same pair on Fashion Nova, right? But anyways, if you really, really feel the need to do that, then like support sex workers in a way that like is usually monetarily, right? Like you're saying, like go to the club and spend money on them, but like also support them online, support organizations that support sex workers and getting sex work decriminalized. That makes it like you're respecting us instead of appropriating.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it's more like appreciation rather than appropriation.
Right.
One of the things that I really like about the pole studio that I've been referencing, they just added like a piece on their website about the history of twerk, about the history of pole, mm-hmm. and like how it came from strip clubs and sex workers and things like that. And they made it like a requirement of moving from like the beginners classes to level one, mm-hmm. to where you have to have this information. And I thought that was really cool that they did that, so that everybody knows, like, if you want to continue on, you got to at least like try. And
you have to understand where all of this came from and why it's such a beautiful art form, because we didn't create this form of dance. Other people did, and we have to respect it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, you know, companies will have like diversity workshops as requirements, but then when we're asking you to like have some cultural humility, it's like, ah.
Right. You're entitled. That was the.
Oh, yeah. That was another one that we got a lot
that
of.
Was, I was so frustrated when I heard you're entitled. I saw red. And honestly, like, I'm going to be honest with you, Rosie. I, for like 2 weeks, I was like depressed over the comments that I was getting because these were my friends. And I, you know, I put myself out there, but like, these were my friends who, like, people that I respected and loved. And I was like, none of my friends are, first of all, none of them like supported it. You know, nobody was like, oh my God, you know, I mean, a lot of people were sharing it, but none of my actual friends who were also sex workers, you know, in the online space who have platforms were sharing it and like involving themselves in the conversation. And like, I was just really hurt by that because I'm like, it's just so sad how people perceive sex workers. And it just made me really like think, you know, all this work that we feel like we're doing, it isn't for nothing, but in a way it kind of is. But I never put myself out there for anybody but my community. You know, it was about the community. And there are sex workers who might not agree with us. There are sex workers who might say things like, and we've heard this too, like, I don't care, you know, I don't care what somebody else does with their life. If they want to go and wear pleasers, if they want to go and fucking go to pole dance studios, whatever, do that. And I don't care, you know, and that's fine too.
Yeah. I think those are the same type of people that are, I don't know, they just don't want you to like rock the boat. Like, they won't have talks about racism or politics either. They just want to live in their own little bubble of nothing's wrong. If you just don't know about it, nothing's wrong.
And they want everybody to like them.
Yeah.
you know, they want everyone to like, they don't want to lose followers. They don't want to lose friends. And I was prepared when I started doing this, and I know that you were too, like when I started speaking out about this, to lose friends, to lose people in my life. But those people weren't meant to be there
Yeah.
anyways. So, like, if my friends don't even support me and my job, like, and what matters to me, then, like, why do I even want them in my life, you know?
Yeah, which is definitely at like end of the day a good realization to have, but it's still like really painful.
It hurts.
And yeah, I understand what that's like because I went through it too. So I'm
Yeah.
sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, and I think, you know, another way that people can support sex workers and be allies to us is like sharing that sort of content, right? Like when we put stuff out like that, share it. And one thing that I've noticed a trend in, especially within the non-monogamous community and the swinging community, is people want to talk about sex work. They want to put educational information out there about sex work without being sex workers.
What do you mean? I'm confused.
So somebody had posted a, you know, like the educational resources on Instagram. They'll post like, you know, pictures and stuff talking about this is what a sex worker is, not being a sex
Oh.
worker.
Oh,
Or,
like,
you
oh,
know, this is how.
join my stripper 101 class, but they've never been a stripper.
Yes. Oh my God,
Yeah.
I didn't even talk about this. Okay, so I messaged Rosie the other day. I was pissed. I was livid. And you know what? I didn't even, I let it go because at this point, I'm not going to change anybody's mind about
Yeah.
anything because they're not even there yet. So I saw that that a swinger, large swinger resort is doing a sex or a stripping 101 course. So I messaged this person because I kept seeing it come up in my feed and I was just like, I'm curious. I know what the answer is, but I'm
Right. You
curious.
just want to have the concrete proof.
And so I was like, hey girl, that's so awesome that you're doing this for the community. I think that, you know, this is great. Like dancing can empower women and make them feel confident, you know. You've been a dancer in the past, right? You know, or like you're still currently a dancer. And she was like, no, I've so she said that she promoted for clubs or something.
I don't even think that was the case. I think it was, I don't remember like reading anything about actually being in clubs at any point. I think it was
No.
just an appreciation, or she was like,
Right.
I just love being sexy.
And so I was like, okay, well, like what you're doing is not stripping, you're doing pole dance as a fitness workout. So you should probably change the name of the course to Pole Dance 101 or confidence building through sexy dance, something
Yeah.
like that, instead of.
I don't even think the poll was related. I think it was just like the art of taking your clothes off.
Right,
Like
and
it
lap
was like a
dance.
sexy dance slash taking your clothes off, which I get why you would say stripping, but like if you're not a stripper, you don't know what stripping is.
And
I'm
she said
saying.
that they have tried using different names, but never, like, it sells more when they use the word stripping. And that
Shocker.
shocker, that was really offensive to me. I'm like, well, of course it sells more because you're using somebody else's aesthetic. Like, of course, dude, like you are literally profiting off of the art of dance, never having stepped foot in a strip club as a dancer. How is this not a problematic for people? Like, how are they not thinking? And she was like, well, I support dancers and like, I think it's really great what they do. That is beautiful and that is wonderful. And I'm so happy that you support dancers. But what you're doing right now is actually not being an ally. What
Right.
you're doing is appropriating dancing. And that in itself shows that you really don't care about dancers. So
Because
I.
if the name sells better, why are you not going to a club and hiring a stripper that you meet to teach everybody how to do this. And it's because you want all the money without any of like the consequences.
Right.
And that's another thing that I have noticed with a lot of like the performances and stuff here in Indy is that a lot of groups will hire non-sex workers to do like pole showcases or, you know, these performances in public and like have people like throwing money and things like that. And, or like they're hiring people from pole studios, but not giving actual sex workers like the gigs or having them teach classes. There was a class that I was going to do, a stripper 101 class. And the manager of that old studio didn't like anything that I was going to be teaching. And I was like, well, this is how you do it. And she's like, well, it's not a choreo class, so I'm going to take over. And I just told her to cancel the class. Like, you're not going to take over my stripper 101 class as a non-dancer. And it's just like, you know, stuff like that that people do.
Right.
I'm like, why are you taking opportunities from us? Like,
right. You know,
if there's a chance for me to make money outside of the club in a safer environment, why wouldn't I want that opportunity?
Right. Absolutely. So like, if you want to truly be an ally, please stop using our aesthetic to make money off of it. If you want to be an ally, please hire real sex workers to work in your studios, do your courses. Please, if you are a swinger event owner or somebody who's an ambassador of the swinger lifestyle or sex positive lifestyle, please actually use real sex workers and empower them and give them a platform instead of using women who are just, haha, this is cutesy and fun. I'm a sexy girl who, you know, has a nice body. You know, don't you really, really empower actual sex workers? That's how you become an ally.
Yeah.
100%. So, any last words about, you know, sex work and appropriation?
I think we covered so much. I don't even think we went through the questions because we just started talking.
We went through some of them, but that's what I love to do, like an outline, but also like kind of let it flow in the way that it did. And I think it flowed really well. So if people want to find you or, you know, learn from you, how can they find you? And obviously, guys, I'm going to post all of this in the show notes, but let us know.
The best place to find me, even though it might be difficult because I'm shadow banned, you have to type my whole profile in. It's POLER.ROSIE, Poler.Rosie. I'm sure Kylie will link it, but yeah, I'm shadow banned, so it's probably going to be the last one that you type in, and you have to type every letter. So it's got my link tree and everything on there as well. So any special links, it'll probably have a link to this on there.
Yeah. And, you know, Rosie posts a lot about, you know, and uplifts other sex workers within the community who are also doing the same work as us and talking about this. And I think, too, it's just really important, you know, and this is similar to the DEI conversations that I've been having lately, too, is like just talking about it and just listening and letting us be heard and saying like, I didn't see it like that. I respect you being vulnerable and having this conversation, just saying thank you for sharing, you know, thank you for sharing your heart and being vulnerable. Like that goes so far for us as opposed to like arguing it, right? Like, so just when you see this type of content that we're creating, you know, like just be in support of it as opposed to like getting triggered, because a lot of these conversations can be triggering for people. And I understand that. But like, please, you know, just have a little bit more empathy for what we're doing and the work that we're doing when it comes to like sex work and appropriation, for sure.
And that's really all that we're asking is like have some empathy, treat us like people. And I don't think that that's a tall order. I don't think that's a tall order at all.
No, it's not. Not at all. So, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I think
Yeah.
this is going to be really enlightening for I hope that it, you know, I feel like our hope and our goal in this is not to like tear people down and make people feel bad about the choices in the past that they've made, because I'm sure in the past I've done these things and I, you know, I've done things that were not great towards sex workers, and I've been horophobic in the past. I'm not gonna lie, but I think it's all a journey, you know, and it's all about self-reflection, and that is the goal of this for sure. Not to like trigger anybody.
Absolutely. We're just, it's all about like community, you know, that's all we're trying to do. But thank you so much for having me. Again, I'm so glad that we finally had this conversation and like, anytime this comes up again, we can just be like, link.
If people are confused about what we're talking about, link to the pod, listen to the podcast. So
Yes.
thank you so much. And
Yeah.
thanks for riding on the Pineapple Express with us.
Yeah, absolutely.